Lauren and I wanted to come to you this week. Here we are, third week of our sabbatical and our time away. And the first thing that we wanted to do this morning is simply say thank you, really and truly. You guys are so much a part of this process with us. You've made this possible for us. We've been so thankful for the support and the prayer that we have been receiving so far from you guys. What we want to do week over week is just give you updates and let you know where we are in this journey, how you can pray for us, and how you can continue to support us as we are in this time of rest. And really preparing our hearts to receive and hear from God. This week, you're going to be hearing from an incredible voice, a friend of ours, in fact, a friend couple of ours from Canada will be sharing with you today. But one of the things that Lauren and I really love is marriage. We love being married. We love marriage. We love pouring into marriage. And here soon, we have some time where we will be cultivating and working on our own marriage.
Yeah, we're excited. This week we get to just spend some time away together, just the two of us, investing into our marriage and just cultivating our own relationship. So we just ask that you would pray for us this week. Pray that God would bless our marriage. Pray that God would bring us closer together and united in thought and action. So we just really appreciate you being with us through this.
One of our great friends in ministry, Shane and Rachel Johnston, live in Canada. We've become friends with them through a network that we are a part of, and they are a very important part of our lives. Shane really has become an incredible friend to me, Rachel, a great friend to Lauren, and they've become incredible voices into our lives. We really see them as peers and people that are in the same like pace of life and pace of ministry as us, and it's really, really awesome for us to be able to communicate with them and talk with them, share some of our wins, some of our struggles, to pray together, to believe with each other for great things. And some of you will remember Pastor Shane. He spoke here in 2020 for us right before COVID changed all of our lives. And today you're going to get the opportunity to hear from him once again. So what I want you to do is just prepare your hearts. I promise you, you are going to be blessed today by our friends and specifically by our great friend, Pastor Shane. So if you would just sit back, prepare your hearts, and get ready to receive the word that he is going to give to you today.
What is up, Church on the Rock? My name is Shane, and I have the privilege of being with you today. My wife, Rachel, and I pastor Resonate Church in Vancouver, British Columbia. What an honor it is to be able to serve your church. Well, Pastor Josh and Lauren are away on sabbatical. We just love your church. We were with you, some of you will remember, about a year and a half ago now, and it was just great to be there in your services, meeting so many of you, and we love your pastors so much, and I want to take a moment and just honor them. Do you know you got great pastors? Rachel and I have the opportunity through the Next Level Relational Network to coach and pastor ministry leaders all across Canada and North America. And so we have a front row seat to see a lot of churches up close, and I want you to know that you got great pastors. And I think you already know that, but I just want to, come on, encourage you. Get a thank you note out today. Write something down. Give it to them when they're back. Honestly, it means more than you can imagine to the heart of your pastors who serve you so very, very well. And so we honor them today. And Pastor Josh loves to brag on you. I was talking to him recently. He was telling me how in this last year, really the most difficult for so many of us, he was saying that your church has grown this heart to serve. That as a percentage of your church, more people are now serving on your serve team than ever before. You need to know that's not normal. You need to know how special that is, what God is doing in your church. And I just think you also need to know your pastor is so proud of you. Well, today I wish I was there with you in person. You may or may not know the borders are closed between Canada and the States still. And so I can't be there with you in person. Wish that I could, will at some point. I can't wait till we can get Pastor Josh up with us in Canada, and that's going to be a great day. But right now we can't, and you might not know this either, but that right now in the part of Canada I'm standing in, this beautiful, come on, this is beautiful. Shouldn't we all just hang out here? Y'all need to come. It's going to be, let's come. We'll have like one big Church on the Rock, Resonate Church party. But in this part of Canada right now, we're still in a lot of restrictions. And our church just had our 62nd straight week of church online. And that might not make a lot of sense because I know you've been up and open a lot more and further in the recovery in Florida. We're celebrating that with you. But I tell you that for a couple of reasons. First, I got to tell you a little bit of what it looks like in my home, just a bit of connection with you so you can see into my world, because I got a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And the crazy thing is, our 2-year-old really only thinks that church happens online in our living room. A couple of weeks ago, we're watching the service, and my son, he gets up and he goes to the fridge and he opens up the fridge. He can just now do that, but he climbs into the fridge. Like, I can't even see the little guy. So I get up from watching the service. I go over to the fridge and I say, "Hey, Wylan, get on out of there." And he looks at me. This is crazy. He looks at me and he points back to our living room and he says, "Go to church." I don't know whether to be mad at my son for trying to boss around his father or to laugh that my 2-year-old son thinks church is something that only happens in our living room with the 5 of us. Come on, it's a crazy season, which is why we celebrate at Resonate that God is moving. Our church has grown through this. Our church has greater attendance than we had at the start, and we're serving more people, and our teams have grown. And I say all that to say God can use the tough stuff in your life to lead to your breakthrough. In fact, the message I want to speak today is called Breakdowns and Breakthroughs. And I can't wait to dig into God's word, into the story of someone, if you've been around church, you know, Elijah. To see some patterns that he had in his life, that when life got tough, these weren't exactly the best patterns to lean into God and lean into people. And I think we see some of these patterns in ourselves. And so I want to speak this message, breakdowns and breakthroughs. And here's why this message really matters so much right now. I think there's 3 reasons. The first is that there's a fight going on in our souls. That even as the recovery is happening and things are getting better all around us, the people I'm talking to still have a lot going on in their souls. Maybe for you, it's just like 12, 13 months ago, you'd say, "I was sleeping a little bit better," or, "I didn't yell at my kids as much as I do right now," or, "I just felt a little bit more peaceful and settled and secure." Or maybe it's more than that for you. Maybe you'd say there's even seeds of depression set in. I talk to a lot of people that tears come more quickly right now than they have ever in their lives. So that's the first reason. Come on, we're feeling it. Here's the second reason this message I think is important. It's that we, for the most part, don't know what to do about it. If all of our coping strategies were going to work, they would have worked by now. And so we might not know what to do about it. We might not even see that we're in the midst of it. In fact, you might be the last person that knows and notices how close you are to really needing God come and do something in your soul. So we're all feeling it. We don't know what to do about it. Here's the third reason. Here's the good news. I believe God has victory for you, because you're sitting in a church that was founded on breakthrough and has been built on breakthrough after breakthrough. And you're listening to a pastor that's seen breakthrough happen in my own life. So today, I can't wait to bring this message, breakdowns and breakthroughs. Well, here's the reason I want to bring this message to you today, is it's very near and dear to my heart. Because in my own journey, in my own life, I've gone through some breakdowns that God would use to bring about the breakthrough. And I want to get a little bit vulnerable with you today. Is that all right? I mean, it's the second time now I've spoken to Church on the Rock and been with you. And so I want to take you a little deeper into my own journey and my own story, because I think there's some people that this will really relate to today. At 27 years of age, I was working as a CPA and I was in business and everything seemed to be going well for me. And yet I found myself in a season of depression. It was 10 years before Rachel and I would plant Resonate Church, and we would see God use our lives and the lives of our team and our church to see hundreds and hundreds of people saved. But 10 years before that, I was depressed. Here's how it happened: through my own fear of not having enough, I began to work, overworking to the point where I had carpal tunnel syndrome, needed surgery on my hands, and felt like my career was over. I began to fear for the future. I felt unemployable. I felt like a failure to my wife, a failure to myself. And the picture I have of rock bottom was standing in the Cheesecake Factory in Seattle, Washington, and looking actually into the mirror there and saying out loud, "I don't want to live anymore." And I tell all that today because I know that every single one of us have some lows and have some challenges, and I just want to get real with it so that we can pay attention to some stuff in our hearts. And here's what the studies are showing right now in Canada. One of our national newspapers just said that more than 50% of Canadians in 2021 are battling significant mental health challenges. More than half of us And I think the other half are lying. Come on, we've all been through some stuff. And so today I want to touch into that part of our souls where all of us are feeling a little bit heavy, a little bit run down, a little bit worn out. I want to let you know that you are not the only one. What do you do when you're feeling like you're in a bit of a breakdown? Let's jump into the Bible today and the life of Elijah, because we're going to see three patterns in him of what we do when we're going through the breakdown. And these aren't things that lead us closer to God. These are actually the things that we need to watch out for that are leading us away. And they show up even in the life of this giant of faith. And I say giant of faith. Come on, if you've been around church, you'll know this. Elijah was a man who saw God move through faith. There was the time when he prayed for a young boy and God raised the boy back to life. There was the time God sent Elijah to a widow and her son. They're going to be starving, and God sends a message, do not fear. And so Elijah shows up with the message and God provides a miracle of food. There's also the time when the king of the nation wants Elijah dead. And Elijah shows up on Mount Carmel on the scene and calls down fire from heaven. Come on, if you've been around church, you'll know the stories. Great, great faith. But then we pick up things in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. Listen to this. Then Elijah was afraid. He arose and ran for his life. You see, the queen of the day didn't see the Mount Carmel experience as a reason to turn to God. She said, Elijah, I want you dead by tomorrow. Elijah turns and runs in fear. So here we have a man with great faith that also has moments of great fear. Well, this is some relatable Christianity, isn't it? Because there are times you roll into church, come on, it's second service, you got your hands up, you're like, yes, this is the best, come on, we're back doing this, this is amazing, God's moving, you're having a great time, and then you hit Tuesday, and life feels so challenging, and your heart feels low. Moments of great faith and moments of great fear. Well, you might think that you're the only one that feels that way. You might think, I'm the only one that has these lows. You see, there's a lie of the enemy that says you're the only one. And the reason the enemy tells you that you're the only one that feels this way is he wants you pulling away from God and pulling away from people. Rather than getting real, rather than going a little bit deeper in your heart and saying, come on, let's talk about how we're actually going right now. Let's get real. Let's get into our small group and talk about what's really going on. There's that lie that says isolate because you're the only one. The lie of the enemy says, don't talk about what you're going through. If you tell someone, you won't feel better. You'll feel embarrassed. You can't tell someone that you had that thought. You can't tell someone that you had that fear. You can't tell someone that you yelled at your son that way. You can't tell somebody that you feel overwhelmed. The lie of the enemy is you're the only one that has your lows. And we get this way because in our culture, this celebrity fascination, ever since you've known what a celebrity was, you've had this feeling that there are people that have great lives that have no problems. And as a result, we don't get real with the lows that we're going through. Well, I came today to tell you that your low is not a flaw. Your low is just something that needs Jesus. In fact, we see that even Jesus himself felt heavy, felt lows. Before the cross, Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus had an intense feeling. And it plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony. Now, your low is not a flaw. It's what you do with your low that matters. Jesus took it to the Father. Elijah, at the time when he needed prayer the most, he chose to turn and run because he felt tired. He felt overwhelmed. It was month 14 of a pandemic. It was month 14 of the weight of it all and the economic challenge. And he found himself in this low. And rather than turning to God when he needed God the most, he turned and ran. And we face this in our own lives, don't we? When we're low, there's a lie from the enemy that says, don't go to God. God doesn't want to see you weak. You can't take your weakness and your brokenness to God. And it's a lie from the enemy to keep us from our Father when we need God the most. And so the first pattern we see from Elijah's life is that when he's feeling low, he hides from God, he turns and runs, he doesn't lean into God. Come on, Church on the Rock, and challenge us today. Can I just lead us a little bit in this idea that you can go to God with your breakdown. You can go to God with your low. You can go to God with all the weight that you've been feeling in your heart. That's the first thing today. That often our pattern is not to go to God, it's to isolate ourselves. Here's the second thing that we see in the life of Elijah. He doesn't just isolate himself from God. He actually isolates himself from people. Pick up reading again in verse 3. We read that he arose and ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And what happened? He left his servant there. What does this mean? He left his servant there. This is really significant, because in saying he left his servant there, this isn't saying that he's like, hey, take a moment, and we had that big win on Mount Carmel. Let's get back together next week and just celebrate the win. I'll see you soon. No, in leaving his servant there, he was saying, I'm done with ministry. This was his ministry assistant. This was his right-hand man. In leaving him behind, he's saying, I'm moving away from the call of God on my life. Now, why does this matter so much? It matters because he's actualizing his own fears. Elijah was afraid of being alone, so what did he do? He made himself alone. Elijah was afraid of feeling deserted, so he went to a deserted place. Elijah didn't want to be abandoned, so he abandoned his ministry servant. Sometimes this is what we do. The things that we're most afraid of, we sometimes actualize these things in our own lives. And one of the reasons is when we're feeling heavy is we move away from people. Come on today, can I just pastor you at Church on the Rock? I'm so thankful, first of all, that you have a culture of one another, that you lean into one another, that you do your small groups, that you're a life-giving church, that you're in the fight together. But for some, this season has been one where you've maybe isolated more from people. And you're not having as many good conversations as you need for your soul right now. Elijah moves not only away from God, he moves away from people. And so today, I want to just pastor you for a moment and say, make this the week that you choose to re-engage, find a small group. You don't have to tell everyone what you're going through, but someone needs to know what you're going through. Say, I'm going to find one or two guys. I'm going to find one or two girls and begin to build relationship. And I might not be able to go there right away. I might not be able to take down the mask fully right away, but eventually I'm going to get there. We say it this way in our church all the time. Go one or two steps further than what you find comfortable. There's the conversation that I feel comfortable in, and there's the one that I actually need. Come on, go one, two steps beyond that today. So the first thing, the first pattern we see in Elijah is when he's feeling low, he moves away from God. And when he's feeling low, secondly, he moves away from people. What's the third thing we see here? We're going to pick up in verse number 4. It says that he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. Here's the third thing we see. Elijah's life in Scripture is held out so many times as a picture of success. And what we see in this text right here is that success does not make you immune to feeling like a failure. Success does not take away the voice that says you're not enough. You can have all the success in the world and still feel broken in your heart. Successful people can still feel isolated. Successful people can still need soul care for their hearts. Maybe that's the picture that we find ourselves in today, is thinking that just a little bit more success, just one more win, just a few more dollars, just a bigger house, just a little bit more time at the beach. That's what my soul needs. No, Elijah is the picture of success. Success never saved anybody. Elijah finds himself in this place where he says, I'm no better than my fathers, which is so wrong. He actually is. He's done more. We don't know anything in the Bible about any of his fathers. We know Elijah is. He's gone so far, but his heart says, oh, it's just not enough. So Elijah, he feels this way to the place where he says, I actually want to take my own life. Recently as a church, early on in COVID, we got a Connect card at our church, one of these prayer cards. And someone filled it out and said, I need prayer to want to keep living. It was an anonymous prayer, and so we didn't know who it was or how to reach out, but we prayed. Prayed that God would work inside their hearts, help them to want to continue to live. Well, it was a few months later, we got this email at the church, and it said this. I remember attending my first service ever, meaning this was this person's first ever time in church when they filled out that card. They said it was your third birthday celebration. My heart was pounding. My social anxiety was so intense. I watched everyone singing and dancing and thought, what's in the Kool-Aid? You see, I've been anti-God my entire life. Here she is. She's walked into church and she's just like anti-God, giving God one chance. This is why, come on, Church on the Rock, this isn't just another Sunday. Every time you gather, it's an opportunity for an atmosphere that's life-changing. Listen to this. She says, at the end of the service, Pastor spoke about a prayer request card. I looked at the card and decided I had nothing to lose. So I asked for prayer that would help me to want to live. The previous year, I'd been on the edge of suicide. This year, I was back in the same place. There's so much pain in any moment. So I asked for prayer to give me a desire to keep breathing. Many times this year, I've reread that email so many times in tears as I thought about what so many people around us have been through and are going through. Well, watch this, she said. Since that day, I've been so blessed to become increasingly open to God and my relationship with Jesus. I want you, Resonate family, to know that without you all, I would not be here, and I mean that. And so, Church on the Rock, here's a few reasons why I read that to you today and why I came with this message today. Maybe for someone, you actually have thought about going to the place in your mind where it says, like, it's what's it all for? And what am I even here for? And even though I'm surrounded by beauty, and even though there's great things in my life, like, what's the purpose? What's the meaning? What am I here for? And I came today to contend for your soul. To tell you that you're not the only one that's ever had those tough moments, and you are not alone. And that thing that you thought was going to break you down, God is going to turn and use for your breakthrough. Come on, we are praying together for you. And today you find yourself sitting in a church or watching a church online that is going to contend with you for your breakthrough in Jesus' name. Maybe you're not in that place, but again, you just needed me to show up today and just get a little bit real so that we don't ignore the places in our heart that God wants to come and touch. You know what God wants to do in our lives today? Come on, Church on the Rock, I'm getting fired up. You know what God wants to do? He wants to come along today and in those dark places of our soul where we haven't invited God because we feel weak and we feel broken and we don't want him to see it and we don't want anybody else to see it. He wants to come today and he wants to flick a light on in your soul. I love the way that Paul, the Apostle Paul, prayed for the church in Ephesus. And he said this, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. You know, that's what God does. He is light and he comes and he illuminates dark places, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. Come on, watch. He continues to pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Here's what I believe, Church on the Rock. It's been a tough year. Here's why this message matters so much right now. You want to build a church? Be great at walking people through pain. You want to build a place where people run to? Come on, I know that's the heart and desire of your pastor. Be a church that gets real with God and one another. Why? Because the world around you is waiting for someone to say, hey, I know what to do in this moment. I know what to do with dark places. You don't have to hide. You don't have to walk into Church on the Rock and pretend you don't have problems. No, you get to walk in here and we see you. And rather than walking, looking at the floor and looking at your shoelaces and thinking my life is broken and there's no hope. No, come on, you get to elevate your eyes up and begin to believe again that God is going to step into your life and flick the switch and bring light to dark places. No, Elijah had the opposite reaction. His patterns were when it's dark and when it's heavy, I'm running away from God and I'm running away from people. But today we are not going to repeat the same problems. Today we are going to lean into God and lean into one another and by faith rally together as a community of faith. And this is our hour of breakthrough. I'll say it one more time. What you thought was going to break through, was going to break you, God can use for your breakthrough. Do you know that your pain and that place of your fight in your life is the thing that God wants to use to reach other people? Your best ministry is always on the other side of a breakthrough. Your best ministry is always going to flow through that place in your life that had so much pain. Do you know why I think that one of the reasons that Resonate Church is doing well in the midst of a pandemic is because their lead pastor had to walk through a season of pain, depression, wondering, God, where are you in the midst of this? And here's why I believe God allowed me to walk through that season, so that when the world fell apart and everyone was in pain, we could be the ones that stand up and said, get in here, come close. We'll walk beside you. Come on, Church on the Rock. I wrestled with whether to bring this message to you. I kind of just wanted to show up today and just speak light and faith and just start right there. I didn't really want to get vulnerable. I didn't want to tell you about my 27-year-old depressed self, but I knew God wanted me to bring this message today because your best days are ahead of you. As you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps beyond what has always seemed comfortable, in what you take to God and what you take to people. So maybe you're sitting there today or watching this online, and that first part of the message that talked about how we move away from God when we're in the difficult places, come on, God's just inviting you back. Your Father sees you, sees what you've been going through, sees how you feel. Come on, He's wrapping His arms around you today. He's gonna bring you comfort. He's gonna bring you back. You just need to know His hand is on your shoulder. Maybe that part about moving away from people is what you feel. You used to have great life-giving relationships, but it's been easy to move away from them right now. Come on, it's time to re-engage. And maybe that last part is what you feel, that every single one of us, come on, is gonna rally together. A move of God is gonna happen as we invite God to switch on the light in the dark places. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for this incredible church, this life-giving house. God, I speak to the days ahead. I pray, God, that now more than ever, as people in brokenness and pain walk in that back door at Church on the Rock, God, that they will be seen, that they will be embraced, and they will encounter an atmosphere of faith and breakthrough. What they thought was the end is just the beginning in Jesus' name. God, I pray that there would be a revival season ahead for Church on the Rock. That as Pastors Josh and Lauren return from sabbatical and return fully charged, full of faith, that this is a revival season. That as society around us cries out for a breakthrough, as society thinks that the recovery, all we need is just economic recovery and things to get back to normal, that every single person around us right now, though, is aware that they need more than what they've been seeing, living, and experiencing. So this is our hour for revival. God, I pray, Lord, that you would flick the light switch on today, in Jesus' name. Now, I want to take a moment before we end this message and pray. For those of you watching this, and you know today is your day to fully, wholeheartedly surrender your life to God through faith in Jesus. This is that moment of your life. Maybe you've been coming to church for years, but you've never wholeheartedly said, God, I surrender my life to you. Maybe it's because you never fully believed that you could give God all of your heart, even those difficult places. Come on, today is your day. And it would be my honor to lead you in a prayer of dedicating your life to God through faith in Jesus. And the Bible says that if you bring your faith to God's grace, that you're going to be saved, meaning your past is forgiven, and you're given a hope-filled future, not only in eternity, but also in this life. So come on, would you pray with me if you're going to make that decision today of surrendering your life to God? Say this, say, dear Jesus, I give you my life today, and I choose to follow you. Thank you that you love me so much that you died and rose again, that you came for me so that I could be free, forgiven. So in this moment, and from this moment on, my life is yours. Thank you for saving me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church on the Rock, it's been so great to be with you. I love you. Can't wait to see you in person. God bless you. And we'll see you soon.